Joining us to talk about urban warfare is Tim Eads, retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army and a former member of Army Special Operations. Welcome, Colonel Eads.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is a former Special Operations officer with Britain's Special Air Service, who is known as Andy McNabb. His account of his experience with Special Forces in Iraq during the 1991 Gulf War is called Bravo 2-0. Welcome, Mr. McNabb.
Thanks for having me.
Colonel Eads, let's start with you. What do you make of this incursion by U.S. forces into Baghdad in the pre-dawn hours today? What was its purpose?
The purpose, I think, was the psychological impact of showing the Iraqis who live in Baghdad that the coalition forces can enter Baghdad with pretty much impunity, roll through wherever they want to go. But it also showed the Baghdad people that the U.S. forces and coalition forces are there. You need to start thinking about what next steps you want to take to protect yourself and continue your lives into the post-Saddam era, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. McNabb, would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that certainly, you know, if you've been there over this last few weeks, you've been getting bombed every night. You've had the pressure from the Iraqi military to stay where you are, or actually getting dragged out by the military and told to fight. What it does is that fantastic psychological boost when you see the coalition forces coming through to know that, well, if they do rise up, they will be supported because they're actually physically seeing the troops now.
Now, the U.S. forces made this incursion, then pulled back again. What's the next step, Colonel Eads?
I think the next step is more of these kind of incursions into other parts of the city, and perhaps even at some point seize a key part of the city and maybe establish a strong point there and see what kind of reaction that causes from, first of all, the Saddam regime, but also from the local populace there.
Colonel Eads, what are the biggest dangers that the troops face right now?
Well, I mean, the biggest danger right now is, I guess, over-exuberance. Some are perhaps seeing the finish line, and, you know, they want to come home and that kind of thing. The mission is clearly not over, and the leadership is going to have to guard against overconfidence, over-exuberance. When that happens, mistakes are made, and whether that would result in friendly casualties or civilian casualties or even the damaging of something that we don't need to damage. So we're going to have to guard against that, and that is going to be a very difficult thing for the leadership.
Mm-hmm. Andy McNabb, what are the biggest dangers for troops, and what advice would you give them?
I was watching the reports of American troops going into the holy shrines in Kabbalah, and basically people power came out on the streets, not armed, just blocking the way. And it presented the problem for the military guys there. The fact is, what do? Do they push through to achieve their objective and possibly create the situation that makes it even worse, or do they just wait there? And in fact, the commander done the right thing, trying to show that they weren't an aggressive force, and they withdrew. Mm-hmm. If mistakes are made because of everybody's getting too exuberant and, you know, for instance, a holy shrine is hit or something that is destroyed that is important to the people, they may come out on the streets, which would create obviously a higher risk to our troops as they're trying to get into Baghdad to get over the regime.
Mm-hmm. How well prepared are U.S. troops and British troops, for that matter, for this kind of warfare, gentlemen?
From the U.S. perspective, we train on this kind of thing all the time. Almost all of our military bases now have training sites on the bases that are basically mock cities that our soldiers go through and fight, rehearse this kind of fight all the time.
Mr. McNabb, are the British troops and commanders on the ground in Iraq better prepared for this because of the British experience in Northern Ireland, for instance, do you think?
I think certainly our experience in Northern Ireland helps in a number of ways. I think the troops are attuned to actually that sort of street patrolling to dominate an area. But once it gets into aggressive contact action where you're clearing street to street, house to house, I don't think there's no difference at all between either of the armies.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about Northern Ireland. Are there particular past or present urban warfare situations that should inform the strategy of fighting in Baghdad, or is Baghdad a totally different thing?
No, I would say, clearly the U.S. have gone to Israel and basically gone to school on Israeli tactics in the West Bank and Gaza very recently to get a sensing of how to use armor, how to use bulldozers, how to do these kind of psychological operations, and they have done it very recently with some senior and mid-level officers and NCOs so that they could come back in and impart that knowledge that they learned to the guys who are on the ground in Baghdad right now.
Tim Eades is a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army and former member of Army Special Operations. Also with us was a former special operations officer with Britain's Special Air Service, who is known as Andy McNabb. His account of his experiences with special forces in Iraq during the 1991 Gulf War is called Bravo 2-0. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.